today. We're going to leave it there, but we'll continue to follow this case. Chase Strangio, staff attorney of the American Civil Liberties Union's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Project. And thank you very much to Aaron Romano, Jane Doe's lawyer in federal court, speaking to us from Hartford, Connecticut. That does it for our show. I'll be speaking in Stowe, Vermont on May 17th. Check our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Fels, Sarah Monte, Nirmi Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Akhoff, Honey Masood, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Cassandra Lazare, Messiah Rhodes, Shirina Nodura, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Naguera, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, Jessica Lee, John Wallach, Vesta Gadars. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Our website is democracynow.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's 5 o'clock p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. The p.m. evening news is next.
Drive. KBOO is proud to partner with Hopworks Urban Brewery to introduce the British Invasion IPA. Hopworks, an eco-brew pub offering sustainable organic beers, will have the British Invasion IPA on tap during our spring membership drive at both hub locations, 2944 Southeast Powell and 3947 North Williams in Portland. You can learn more about what the Hopworks British Invasion IPA means for KBOO at kboo.fm/IPA.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Mobilizing Local Culture, a University of Oregon arts management workshop in Portland, June 23rd through 28th, showcasing the ways in which local culture mobilized to make a difference in neighborhoods across the city. More info at aad.uoregon.edu/summerintensive. This KBOO program is also made possible in part from a grant from the League of Women Voters of Portland, helping to make democracy work with printed and online voters' guides for the May primary. You can check your library or vote411.org for more information and a guide personalized to your address.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, an FCC commissioner has called for delaying the vote on net neutrality amid loud protests from leading tech companies.
The Oregon Supreme Court gives the go-ahead to a group who seeks to put a GMO labeling measure on the November ballot.
And the head of a Japanese nuclear commission questions the plan to install an ice wall at the damaged Fukushima power plant.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, May 8th, 2014. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Robert Barncourt.
And I'm Jen Chavez. After receiving the approval of the Oregon Supreme Court today, a group trying to get a GMO labeling initiative on the November ballot is poised to begin gathering signatures. GMOs, or genetically modified organisms, are surrounded by controversy and conflicting health claims despite their ubiquitous presence in America's food and agriculture systems. Oregon Right to Know is the group spearheading the initiative, which would require food companies to label those products that contain GMOs. Once they get their petition forms approved by the Secretary of State, the group will have until July 3rd to obtain more than 87,000 signatures to qualify for the November statewide ballot. For more on the initiative, KBOO's Sam Bowman spoke with Sandeep Kaushik, a spokesman with Oregon Right to Know.
What's the reasoning behind having genetically modified organisms labeled on products?
Well, the most important thing for us, I think, is that people and families across Oregon deserve to have information about the food that they eat and that they feed their family.
What sort of enforcement would be in place if it passes?
Well, it requires is that GMO products be labeled. It's already the case in 64 countries around the world, including most of Europe and Japan, where American companies that sell food products in those countries provide GMO labeling on their food. So we think it's something they ought to be doing here. It's very easy for them to do. We expect once this initiative passes that there will be very, very high rates of compliance. But there will be mechanisms built in if there is not compliance for citizens to bring lawsuits to ensure compliance. There's no grounds for punitive damages or anything like that. So this is not something that's going to add to the cost for these food companies, but it's just a measure there to make sure that they comply. But we have no doubt that once the initiative passes, that in the vast majority of cases, manufacturers will comply because it's easy to do so and that they already do it in so many other parts.
There was a measure that lost in Oregon in 2002 and measures that lost in Washington and California in the intervening years. And they attracted lots of, the opposition attracted lots of money from companies like Monsanto and DuPont. What do you think their opposition is to something like this? There's no ban or anything.
Right. No, this is not about a ban. This is just about providing information to consumers across the state so that they can make informed choices about what they choose to eat and what they feed their families. It's very clear that there's a handful of large chemical conglomerates that manufacture GMOs, and for them it's really all about the bottom line, and they're going to fight tooth and nail to try to keep this information out of the hands of Oregon consumers.
As I mentioned earlier, there have been several failed attempts to pass a measure like this. What's different about Oregon in 2014?
The last couple of efforts have been very, very close. In Washington State, it was really a difference of just 19,000 votes that stood between the measure passing and failing. And that was in spite of the fact that labeling proponents were vastly outspent by the other side. We think we've learned from those campaigns. We think we understand better the kind of deceptive messaging that we're going to hear from the other side, and we're better prepared to respond to it. And we think Oregon voters fundamentally agree with us. They understand that more information about the foods that they purchase at the grocery store and eat is better.
All right. I just got one more question sort of on the subject of that messaging. Some folks have come out. Pat McCormick, who was a spokesman who worked on the opposition back in 2002 in Oregon, has said that it has conflated it kind of with the fluoride debate last year, that it and characterized some people on the GMO labeling side as anti-science and paranoid. And what would the response be to that?
Well, those sorts of characterizations are deeply unfair and inaccurate. I think people have, first of all, people have a right to make informed choices. We're not saying with this initiative that GMO food should be banned. It's just that we're asking that they be labeled. There are people out there that might have health concerns. There are other people that may have moral or ethical concerns about playing with Mother Nature. You know, when we're right now on the verge of the FDA approving a genetically modified salmon that will contain, that will have eel-like genes inserted into it so it grows faster. Some people, lots of people may have qualms with that. They just may not think it's the right thing to be doing, and they have every right to have those kind of moral or ethical concerns, and they deserve to get the information so that they can make those choices for themselves. That's not anti-science or paranoia. That's just a basic right and a need in our society to have an informed citizen.
For KABU Evening News, this is Sam Bowman speaking with Sandeep Kaushik of Oregon Right to Know.
Money continues to pour into the battle over whether or not to privatize Oregon liquor sales. The proposed initiative, which would allow retailers with over 10,000 square feet of floor space to sell liquor, it's setting large grocers such as Fred Meyer against small retailers, against liquor stores, against local distilleries, and also against beer and wine wholesalers. Oregonians for Competition, which is the committee favoring privatization, just received a third $100,000 donation from the Distilled Spirits Council, which is based in Washington, D.C., bringing their war chest to around $2 million. The initiative is still bogged down in court, where the two sides are arguing over how to describe a wholesale tax that will apply to liquor sold in supermarkets. The original initiative text referred to a, quote, fee, because proponents thought calling it a tax would turn away voters. The initiative now says that a wholesale tax will apply. The initiative would cause a drastic change in the way liquor is sold in Oregon. Currently, the sale of spirits is monopolized by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the OLCC, which licenses liquor stores to sell products at fixed prices and puts the state's profits into the general fund. This new initiative, which needs to collect qualifying signatures by July 3rd to even be on the ballot, would allow large retailers to deal directly with distillers and distributors.
KABU volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every weekday evening. So now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Mike and Daniel to talk about how you can support KABU Community Radio.
Peace, y'all. Thanks, Jen and Robert. You know, it's good to be down here listening to the news, being part of KABU. We're wanting you guys out there in the public to come on in and support us. You can stop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in Southeast Portland, or you can go online, kboo.fm, or you can give us a call. We got volunteers ready to answer the phone, and take your pledge as you become a member of KABU at 877-500-5266.
And while we're at it, we want to say thanks to some of the restaurants that have been helping us with food today for our membership drive. We've got Bridges Cafe at 2716 Northeast MLK. We have Gracie's at 729 Southwest 15th Avenue, and Salvador Molly's at 1523 Southwest Sunset Boulevard. Thanks to each and every one of you as we work our way through this membership drive. You know, we've got a goal of $100,000 for this membership drive, and we've got a goal this hour. Mike, what is it?
I didn't take a look at the goal this hour, as a matter of fact, so I can't quote it right now, but I do want to say, if you don't mind, a little bit about what they're talking about, some of what you're going to get when you pledge and you become a member and support KABU. With the minimum $60 pledge, you can get a year subscription to Yes Magazine, a quarterly magazine published by the Positive Futures Network, which invites readers to become a part of a global community of change makers. Each issue focuses on a theme, showing the possibilities and practical steps that can lead us to a more positive future. In each issue, you're also going to find book reviews, political advice for living more sustainably, and the page that counts, special features, columns, and short indicators.
And I can tell you, I've been reading Yes Magazine for a couple of years now, and they are an absolutely terrific source. So if you want a part of that, pick up the phone, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. And the time to do it is right now. Our goal for this hour is $300.
Okay, good.
And the only way we're going to achieve that goal is by you picking up the phone right now and you dialing 877-500-5266. Get excited, like Yana last hour talking about why she became a part of KABU. And, you know, I said it then, it's been said before, Everyone that becomes a part of KBOO does it for their own reason, and everyone benefits. So we want you to benefit too. Pick up the phone, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. What is your threshold? Can you provide us with $5 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month, or perhaps you can help us with $1,000? Each and every one of those dollars goes all the way does so much, Mike, in bringing the programming that for 45 years people have gotten used to listening to.
500 volunteers, 6 full-time employees, 4,500 members, 45,000 listeners. Of those 45,000 listeners, how many people are actually members of KBOO? You know, they say something like 100,000 people are going to be moving to this metro area over the next few years. We want some of you 45,000 that are listening, some of you people that are new to Portland, to definitely become members of KBOO. Keep us on the air. Keep us bringing you this news and public affairs, this fantastic music programming. You know, tomorrow night from midnight to 8 in the morning, 12 hours, called Mother's Night, a Mothers of Invention programming by my man Daniel. You know, there's so much fantastic stuff happening at KBOO. Please do keep us moving forward.
A domestic violence shelter in La Grande, Oregon, is facing closure to make way for a new county courthouse in Union County. Shelter from the Storm has filed a litigation suit in April to seek resolutions that would minimize the impact of construction on the group's facility. KBOO's Sequoia Wright spoke to Shelter from the Storm's director, Teresa Krauser, for more on this story.
Give a little background of why the shelter is being closed due to this.
Union County has a terribly inadequate courthouse, and our presiding judge has advocated for funding for a new courthouse that we desperately need. Union County was successful in obtaining money from the Oregon Judicial Department to build a courthouse, and the county has decided to construct that facility on the footprint where our building currently stands.
And so currently, what's the status of the new courthouse?
Shelter from the Storm was served with a notice to vacate our facility by September 1st of 2014. And we have filed a complaint for injunctive relief and damages in Union County Circuit Court, and that was filed on April 30th.
Has the question been raised as to why the courthouse needs to build a courthouse on the shelter site?
There have been many reasons that the county has listed. I believe there are other locations that would be feasible for the courthouse, but at this point the county has decided to pursue the location where our building is at.
So where will the women go after September?
Well, Shelter from the Storm is not just a women's organization. We serve all victims of domestic and sexual abuse, including males. And at this point, we do not have the funding to secure a replacement facility. As a nonprofit organization, we are primarily grant funded, and there's no way that we could meet a timeline of September 1st.
Yeah. So I guess the question I was going to ask is, you know, where will the funding that would usually fund the shelter go? But if you are funded by grants, I guess there really isn't any extra funds that would go to maybe build a new site, I guess. And so the people that you help, are there other services being provided, you know, for these folks, men or women, to transition elsewhere?
Well, there isn't really anywhere else for them to go. Shelter from the Storm is the only domestic violence and sexual assault services provider for all of La Grande and the surrounding areas. And at this point, I'm not able to speculate to what degree our services will be impacted. I don't know if we will completely shut down if the September 1st deadline is enforced, but I would estimate that our services would be significantly impacted.
And so you're just waiting to find out if the suit that was filed in April, is there a chance that Shelter from the Storm and the representatives will just wait to see what comes of that in between now and September?
At this point, we are kind of waiting. I'm not able to speak regarding the pending litigation too freely. But again, I would just say that there is not a location that is readily available to us. And so we are kind of waiting. We're not entirely sure what's going to happen.
Okay. And Teresa, is the county even willing to find new space for Shelter from the Storm?
The county has told us that they do not have the ability to assist us financially with securing an alternate location.
So you haven't heard whether or not the county is willing to at least find another building until you're able to fund yourself through grants. They're not willing to help with that, as far as you know.
They offered one location that is not appropriate for the type of services that we provide, but that location will not be ready until the courthouse project is complete, which would be approximately a year to a year and a half in the future. And they have indeed said that they do not have the financial ability to secure a new location for us.
Again, I've been speaking with Teresa Krauser for Shelter from the Storm. Thank you, Teresa, for giving us an update, and we look forward to seeing what the result will be.
Thank you very much.
And I'm Sequoina with KBOO Evening News.
University of Oregon students and staff rallied today at the school's Eugene campus in protest of the administration's handling of a recent rape case. A female student accused three basketball players of raping her at an off-campus party on March 8th. The Lane County District Attorney's Office did not investigate two of the men involved and decided not to press charges against the third, citing insufficient evidence. District Attorney Alex Gartner's report states reasons for not filing, including that the victim was not impaired enough to fail to give her consent, and that she appeared to be acting flirtatiously. Two of the players were allowed to participate in a March tournament after the accusation, while the third was already suspended due to a separate sexual assault case at his previous university. The athletic department announced Monday that the players are not currently participating in team activities, and an ESPN source reported that they will not be expected to play next year. The University of Oregon issued a statement Tuesday that the Eugene Police Department advised the school not to take action, claiming it would interfere with the criminal investigation. Protesters at today's rally say the school did not take enough action, and the athletic department did not act quickly enough.
TriMet is replacing older wooden and concrete benches at TriMet bus stops with new so-called leaner benches. TriMet says the new benches will help them comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act in places where old-style benches just won't fit. The new leaner benches have higher angled seats that riders cannot quite sit on, but instead must lean against. The project is completely funded by Lamar Advertising, with 600 new metal benches, including 50 of the new leaner-style benches. A Vancouver designer created the new benches and believes they're beautiful. However, Oregonian newspaper commuting columnist Joseph Rose says that the bench looks like a torture device from Game of Thrones. The leaner benches make it impossible for people to lie down and impossible to even sit down or rest in the bus stops while they are waiting for the bus.
An investigation into the death of Oregon Zoo's orangutan Kutai has found that best practices were not followed by zoo staff and that there were lapses in protocol. Metro is the regional government agency that runs the zoo. Metro spokesman Jim Middaw said, quote, "We have very high standards for animal care, and in the case of Kutai, those standards were not met. Based on that information, we made appropriate changes," end quote. Changes included the resignation of zoo director Kim Smith and veterinarian Mitch Finnegan earlier this week. Today at noon, the group Free the Oregon Zoo Elephants also protested about the Oregon Zoo's elephant program. They claim the zoo's oldest and most famous elephant, Packy, and other elephants are living under poor conditions. Packy was diagnosed with tuberculosis in July 2013. The group wants 52-year-old Packy to live out the rest of his life at an elephant sanctuary. FOZE also accuses Metro of breaking its promise to build a larger off-site habitat for elephants with a 2008 bond measure. Instead, construction is underway on a much larger enclosure for the elephants at the zoo. It will increase the exhibit's size from 1 acre to 6 acres. The new elephant land is slated to open October 2015.
Consumers have filed a federal class action lawsuit today against the Pacific Northwest dairy co-op Dairy Gold. The lawsuit claims that the company engages in misleading marketing regarding the treatment of animals and workers on their suppliers' farms. Dairy Gold is an agricultural marketing cooperative that partners with over 500 dairy farms and sees nearly $2 billion in annual sales. The consumers who are suing the company claim that they were deceived into buying Dairy Gold products by the cooperative's 2010 Corporate Social Responsibility Report. That report frames Dairy Gold as an industry leader in its commitment to workers' rights, to environmental stewardship, and to humane care of its animals. The United Farm Workers have had an ongoing campaign against Dairy Gold for over a year to challenge the company's practices of wage theft, racial discrimination, and lack of access to clean drinking water and sanitary lunch conditions for its workers. In addition, the workers say that they're forced to milk sick and injured cows in order to meet dairy milk quotas imposed by the company. The lawsuit's legitimacy rests on the claim that Dairy Gold officials have publicly acknowledged worker and animal rights abuses on some of its partner farms. But when the Corporate Social Responsibility Report was published, Dairy Gold did not acknowledge the abuses.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KABU Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KABU membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Rose City Native Radio at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Tomorrow's weather will be wet with a 90% chance of rain during the day, including thunderstorms in the early afternoon, a high of 57 degrees and a low of 46 degrees. In today's Radcast, the only citizen-led radiation count on the air, radiation levels for today are 34 counts per minute in North Portland, 29 counts per minute in Eugene, Oregon, 32 counts per minute in Vancouver, Washington, 23 counts per minute in Victoria, British Columbia, and 31 counts per minute in Hanford, Washington. EPA alert levels start at 100 counts per minute. More information can be found at radcast.org.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KABU Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us will be Mike and Daniel to talk about how you can support KABU Community Radio. But let's listen to a clip from an old pitch made by a Portland City Council member from way back in the 1970s.
Hello, this is Mildred Schwab of the Portland City Council, asking you to look around you and see the wonders of nature which are so abundant. Let's not take these natural gifts for granted. You might say that KABU radio is like an endangered species. It's been part of the scenery for a long time, but by no means out of the woods. Your cash support is vital if KABU is to survive and flourish. Since it first began, KABU has been a leader in addressing environmental issues. Together, let's show our appreciation for a job well done. Voice your support. Join me in picking up the telephone and dialing KABU's pledge line. Thank you.
A blast from the past from the KABU archives.
And that number is 877-500-5266. 5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm. Let me tell you something. That was such a timely pitch because did you hear on the news the other day, Mike, about redwood trees in Southern California or in Northern California that were being poached? They were actually going in and butchering some redwood trees, ruining them.
That's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. Well, you know what? For your $75 gift to KBOO, which amounts to 21 cents a day or $1.47 a week, KBOO has gone into partnership with Friends of Trees, and all contributions at the $75 level or greater can have a tree planted by Friends of Trees in addition to a regular thank you gift. So you get your tree planted by Friends of Trees, you get the $75 gift at that level, and you help preserve some of our natural beauty that that pitch, that that council person was talking about. What if an important and such an important call, and what you have to do is pick up the phone and call right now, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm.
That's right, man. You know, support KBOO. Plant a tree, make the atmosphere cleaner for human beings to breathe. We're coming up on Mother's Day weekend. We're coming off of Earth Day. We know that every day is Mother's Day. Every day is Earth Day. There's only one water supply. There's only one sun. There's only one planet for us to occupy. And KBOO is a huge part of facilitating the consciousness that we need to be abreast of through news and public affairs programming so that we can be accountable for the planet on which we live, the community in which we live, for each other. So come on down to KBOO if you're driving in the area, 20 Southeast 8th, or you can get on the computer, kboo.fm, or you can give us a call, 877-500-5266.
And we only have a little less than half an hour to finish up this news hour. But, you know, more importantly, it's time for you to move. It's time for you to step up and become counted with those that are concerned about the environment and concerned about the economy and concerned about equality and concerned about all of those important issues that are facing us today. So why don't you pick up the phone, 877-500-5266. When you talk to one of our folks here and waiting for your call, make sure you ask them about the monthly deductions on your credit or debit card. They'll be glad to explain it to you. But most importantly, very most importantly, pick up the phone right now and call 877-500-5266. You know, the news is put together by all volunteers. It is volunteer powered, and that's what makes this such an essential community. 877-500-5266.
And aren't we sponsoring the March Against Monsanto? We had people on here talking about, you know, Franken salmon, genetically modified Godzilla fish. We need to be careful and think about the things that we put in our mouths, how they keep us healthy or how they keep us sick, and the corporations that control the very food that we eat. And KBOO is proud to bring you information that will steer you in the right direction regarding those very topics. You can hear it on the evening news on a regular basis. So again, one more time, we want to reach our goal this hour, 300-877-500-5266.
And you know, the thing about that, Mike, is that the things that we bring to our listeners are news, things that will not be aired on commercial radio.
Not at all.
You won't hear them on commercial radio, folks. The stories that Amy Goodman was talking about last hour, you might get little 10 or 15 second blips on them on commercial, but not here. We go in depth. We find out what it is that makes these things happen and what makes them newsworthy. So, my friends, I want you to do it now. I want you to become committed to become a part of the great KABU community. Pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. I like to say that once you become a member of KABU, you become a part of something much bigger than yourself. And the only way you can do that is by coming over that fence that we talked about before and stand on 2 feet with KABU. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
The physical is a vehicle for the soul, and the individual is indivisible from the whole. So we're going to support this thing. We're going to support each other. Come on down to KABU. Give us a call, 877-500-5266.
It's 5:35. Time for a daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
If one obscure college professor dies, does it make any difference? If you're Margaret Mary Voitko, yes. In life, she was just another adjunct teacher at Duquesne University, being grossly underpaid and maltreated by the school. Her story would be unknown, except for Daniel Kovalik. A lawyer with the United Steelworkers, Daniel knew Margaret Mary through his union's drive to help adjunct teachers organize for better pay and treatment. He wrote up her story, telling how Duquesne had paid her so little that she spiraled into abject poverty. Then they coldly booted her. No severance, no goodbyes. Impoverished, abandoned, scared, and stressed to the limit, her heart exploded shortly afterwards. Yet, in death, Margaret Mary is more alive than ever. Kovalik's poignant piece swept through the internet, striking a chord with adjunct teachers everywhere. They see that their own low-wage position could put them in the same downward spiral it did for her. So Margaret Mary's story is being repeated all across the country, energizing organizing campaigns to empower and lift up these hard-hit university teachers. In a case of beautiful irony, one of their strongest campaigns is taking place at Duquesne. Adjuncts there have already voted to join the Steelworkers Union, but the domineering masters of this Catholic school are resorting to devious legalistic ploys to deny simple justice for their faculty. Bizarrely, they've even demanded a religious exemption from our labor laws, claiming that unionization would interfere with our teaching of Catholic values. This is Jim Hightower saying the Steelworkers Union president, Leo Gerard, has appealed that claim, not to the courts, but to the Pope. And to make his case that Pope Francis should speak out on this issue of social justice, Gerard told him the story of Margaret Mary Voitko. So in death, Margaret Mary even met the Pope.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
A bill passed today by the Appropriations Committee of the United States House of Representatives is going to budget $335 million for the Executive Office for Immigration Review, known as the EOIR, which is part of the Department of Justice. The EOIR interprets and administers federal immigration laws, and it's been getting busier and busier due to the volume of cases the Department of Homeland Security has been taking on. According to the American Civil Liberties Union, the EOIR has been underfunded, and this has led to longer detention periods and prolonged proceedings for immigrants. There's been an average wait of 580 days, more than a year and a half, as well as fast-tracked proceedings that deny basic due process, and they are decided without a lawyer or a judge. The Justice Department's budget says that, among other things, the money will expand the legal orientation program for immigrants to 12 more locations. It will add 35 new immigrant judge teams, and it will also provide funding for pilot programs that could provide counsel to unaccompanied minors and other vulnerable persons. The House Appropriations Committee's bill would grant $12 million less than what the DOJ had requested. The ACLU states in a blog post that even though the money was not far off from the amount requested, it's still far from what is needed to eliminate the backlog of immigration cases, which now numbers 360,000 cases backlogged. The budget will now be introduced to the floor of the House of Representatives for a full vote.
Members of the House Judiciary Committee have unanimously passed the USA Freedom Act, a piece of legislation aimed at reining in NSA bulk surveillance and data collection. This incarnation of the bill, which was amended several times before moving forward, will prevent the bulk collection of communications metadata within the U.S., ensure that any bulk collection cannot be shifted to another statute, and upholds the requirement that government officials obtain a warrant before beginning surveillance activity. Additionally, the bill specifies that call detail records must exclude cell location data, meaning that the government cannot use calls from your cell phone to determine your location. And while the legislation is seen by many as a tremendous step forward for the protection of civil rights and privacy, others say the bill does not go far enough to curb the federal government's PRISM surveillance program, which was revealed by Edward Snowden last June. Critics say the bill fails to address Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which allows the NSA to search records for all communications that include reference to a surveillance target, not just records that are to and from that target. The bill must pass the House of Representatives still and the Senate as well before becoming U.S. law.
Members of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, requested on Wednesday to delay a vote on proposed net neutrality rules. Jessica Rosenworcel, one of the three Democrats on the five-member commission, said in a speech on Wednesday that a delay was warranted due to public concerns about the FCC's proposed net neutrality rules. Rosenworcel suggests that the FCC legal team take time to first engage with the general public in an online dialogue about what net neutrality means and how or whether it should be enforced. Ted Wheeler, the chairman of the FCC, has stated that he'll not postpone the vote, which is scheduled for May 15th. However, without Rosenworcel's support or the support of the two Republicans on the commission, the new rules are unlikely to pass. Several of the nation's leading tech companies, such as Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Yahoo, have come out strongly against the proposed rules, which they say would allow service providers to charge companies and consumers more for faster service.
Now's your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast rain or shine every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Mike and Daniel to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Well, it is Dan and Dan because Mike has gone off to another challenge. He'll be back in a little while. I want to talk to you about a magazine we talked briefly about earlier, Yes Magazine. For your $60 minimum pledge, we will give you a year subscription to Yes Magazine. It is jam-packed full of information. It's great resources. It provides information that you need to make some really big decisions in terms of the things that we face today. That number is 877-500-5266. We've had some phone activity this afternoon. We'd like to see it continue. The only way it will is by you picking up the phone right now and saying, it's time for me to become a member of KBOO, like Yana did, and is now not only a member, but she's a volunteer. And so much of what happens here at KBOO is based on volunteer power. We are a volunteer-powered community radio station, and that's how we operate. We have the equivalency of 6 full-time folks working for us. We have about 45,000 people listening to us on a regular basis. But most importantly, we need you. We cannot continue this effort without your support, without your help, it is you that we need most importantly to step up. If you're helping us at the $7 a month level right now, perhaps you can step up to $8.25. If you're at $9 a month, perhaps you can increase it to $10 a month. Or if you're at $5 and you can increase it to $6, it makes all the difference in the world. Mostly, we want you to make a difference. And the best way for that to happen is for you to simply pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266, or go online online to KBOO.FM. It's a little rainy out there, a little overcast today, but don't let that stop you. After all, it's Oregon, you know. We had our summer yesterday. So today, let's make up for that. Let's show them that we can do things in the rainy weather as well as sunny weather, and that is by committing ourselves to what happens here at KBOO. Pick up the phone right now if you would. 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. One more time, 877-500-5266. Let's go back to the news.
On Tuesday, the White House released a comprehensive report on climate change. It compiled research and input from 13 federal agencies, from over 250 climate scientists and experts, as well as members of the business community. The National Climate Assessment Report focuses overwhelmingly on the effects of climate change that are already affecting American communities, such as extreme drought, increased flooding, heat waves, wildfires, and superstorms like Hurricane Sandy. Potentially catastrophic effects that are predicted further down the road, such as sea level rise and higher global temperatures, are also pointed to as reasons why political action cannot wait. The report also stresses that while man-made climate change has been affecting the planet steadily since the Industrial Revolution began, the rate of change has increased rapidly in only the past 25 years. President Obama believes that the report will send a strong and a coherent message to the nation's citizens, to its businesses and government agencies at all levels, that climate change is happening now and it is costing us billions of dollars in infrastructure and disaster-related damages. He also hopes that regional and local officials will take advantage of the report's scientific findings, detailing how climate change specifically affects their region and what they can do to mitigate negative effects and protect their citizens. The report comes as part of the president's climate action plan, which he's been steadily making progress on since its announcement last June. Some experts, however, argue that the report indicates the president's goals do not go nearly far enough in addressing climate change.
The latest plan to contain the radiation at the Fukushima nuclear facility in Japan is to construct an ice wall that will cost over $300 million. But the head of a commission set up to review the containment process and the former head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Dale Klein, has questioned the plan to construct an ice wall at Fukushima. Klein spoke with KBOO's Jenka Soderberg earlier today.
I wonder if you could start by telling us what you think are some of the major problems with the proposed ice wall at the Fukushima plant.
Well, there are things we know about the ice wall, and there are things that we don't know. So, for example, ice walls have been used a lot in construction, and so the fact that that technology is well known is good. What's not known is the long length of the ice wall being proposed at Fukushima and the length of time that it is proposed to be used.
What are alternatives to building an ice wall in order to contain the radiation there at Fukushima?
I think the one of the areas that would be good would be to do and what they're starting now is a bypass water flow system where they pump the water around the site, and that way they know it's not building up, it's not causing any other perturbations. So that one is a little bit better understood. And then finally, they need to get the leaks plugged where the water is flowing into the buildings. But then that's going to be a little bit more difficult since they're going into radiation zones.
And what are some of the remaining issues at Fukushima?
They're doing quite well on keeping the cores covered with water and the spent fuel covered with water. The major remaining issue is just water management at the site, and that's where the questions of the ice wall come in. That site is very complicated hydrologically, and so when you build an ice wall for that long and you have it for that length of time, they just need to do a thorough analysis to know that there are no unintended consequences.
Are there any plants in the United States that are of a similar design that could potentially face a similar situation?
No. There are reactors of that similar design in the U.S., but none of which would be subjected to both an earthquake of that magnitude and a tsunami. The issue that the U.S. has looked at for many years, and certainly after 9/11, was the issue of station blackout. And that's where you lose all your sources of electric power to run your pumps and keep the cores cooled. So in effect, that's what happened in at Fukushima. And the United States had already spent a lot of effort looking at that issue because of 9/11. So I think the U.S. industry and the U.S. regulator was better prepared for station blackout than Japan was.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I've been speaking with Dr. Dale Klein. He's the former chairman of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, currently working with TEPCO as a member of an independent advisory committee investigating aspects of the Fukushima nuclear accident. This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
A transgender inmate in Massachusetts has succeeded in a court battle to maintain medical treatment in prison, but prison officials have filed an appeal. The Massachusetts Department of Corrections argued today in Boston to appeal a federal decision requiring them to provide state-funded gender reassignment surgery to a transgender inmate. Michelle Kosolek, who was born named Robert, is serving a life sentence in prison for killing her wife Cheryl back in 1990. Multiple prison doctors have stated that surgery is medically necessary to relieve emotional distress caused by Michelle's gender identity disorder. In 2012, a federal judge ruled that the prison must provide the surgery under the Eighth Amendment, the right to medically adequate care, even while in prison. In January, a federal appeals court upheld this decision, stating that treatment must be provided, quote, even if that treatment strikes some as odd or unorthodox. The Department of Corrections made a second appeal to challenge the decision, stating that the surgery would significantly expand the standard for adequate care. The prison says that it has provided adequate care in the form of laser hair removal, of hormone therapy, of psychotherapy, and that housing Michelle after the surgery could be a security concern. LGBTQ advocates argue that surgery is the only treatment to help Michelle, who has made suicide and self-castration attempts while in prison. The ruling on the second appeal could take several months.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Amy Johnson, Sequoia Wright, Ethan Martin, Andy Seaton, and Rachel Mossy. The producer is Sam Bowman, and our engineer and the KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is the inimitable Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Philomath, rather in Portland. In Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Jen Chavez.
And I'm Robert Barncourt. Coming up tomorrow morning, Friday, on KBOO Radio, it's News and Public Affairs Day with a theme of Countering the Neoliberal Agenda. At 7 a.m., it's going to be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Positively Revolting, the guest will be George Kafensis of Strike Debt, which is building a movement of debt resistance and liberation. Their new book is entitled The Debt Resistors Operations Manual. At 9, we'll hear a talk by journalist, author, and former investment banker Nomi Prins on All the President's Bankers. At 10:30, John Nichols, co-author of Dollarocracy, speaks on getting money out of politics. At 11:30, we'll hear talks from the recent 28th Amendment National Roadshow in Portland with Portland Commissioner Amanda Fritz, with author and activist Amanda Neef, as well as others. At 12:15, Andrew Geller speaks with Ralph Nader about his new book, Unstoppable, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. At 1 in the afternoon, we'll hear a recent talk by Socialist Seattle City Council member Kashama Sawant. At 1:45, we'll hear Organizing and Winning. At 3, the KABU ALEC report, back from the KABU team looking at ALEC-backed legislation in Oregon. At 3:30, Nolan Higdon, faculty advisor to Project Censored, speaks on Censored 2014. At 4 o'clock, it'll be Democracy Now! At 5 o'clock, the KABU Evening News. And at 7, Bread and Roses. And at 7, radio host and author Tom Hartman speaks on the crash of 2016, the plot to destroy America and what we can do to stop it. Coming up next is Rose City Native Radio, but first we're going to go out and listen to Dan to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon. I said a wrong word.
Hi, it's Dan, and we're here. It's one of the three membership drives. We come to you during the year asking for your support. And perhaps you're wondering, where does this money go? How is this money spent? Well, let me tell you something. 83% is directly from individuals just like you. 17% of it comes from other sources.
I love KABU.
Oh, and we've got a young supporter here. She's my little friend. She's been taking over this place. And now, can you give us the phone number? Maybe Jenka can help you.
Why do you love KABU so much?
I would tell you.
That's exactly what I was thinking. She was asking, you know, why haven't you called yet? It's our phone number is 877-500-5266.
And what's your name?
I was just about to say my mommy and daddy helped me tell them their phone numbers.
That's great. So you know their phone numbers, and KABU knows our phone number. And our phone number, we have to tell the people, it's 877-500-5266. And we're here with our friend Azure, who is a KABU volunteer since the day she was born, pretty
right.
much.
Right. And she is the young daughter of Sun, who is, what is that title again?
He's the membership coordinator.
Membership coordinator. I was going to say membership something, but I knew I'd be close.
We're getting off track. This is Jenka. I jumped off the board so that I could tell you we only got 3 minutes left, and we have a couple $100 still to go. So we need you to call right now. We need a couple of people to give $10 a month. So
think about
that out of your checking account, out of your credit or debit card, $10 a month, and support the Evening News so we can reach our goal for this hour. We've only got a couple of minutes. We've got, 3 minutes left to do it, and I know we can do it with your support.
I know that we have one young man. I'm going to ring the bell anyway because they're working on him. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's renewing his membership. I don't have his name right in front of me, but I know I've been assured that he's renewing his membership. You can do the same thing. Pick up the phone right now. It's time for you to dial 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm. Click on the link that says, this is how you become a member of the great volunteer-powered KBOO.
I think it says donate today, actually.
Okay.
You know, but it means the same thing, and it goes to the same place.
Yeah.
And it all adds up to our radio station. You can be an owner of this station. In the next 2 minutes, do it and support the Evening News. So if you have not yet become a member, or if you have not done it in a while, or maybe you did it last drive and you want to do it again because you know how valuable it is, well, we encourage you to do it right now, because that way you support the Evening News, you support the type of programming that you heard. That was, you know, an interview that I did with the head of the Nuclear Review Commission over at Fukushima, Del Klein. He's a hard person to get, and we managed to get him on KABU. When people hear KABU, they know that that word that they say is going to go out to a wide audience, and it's going to be respected. So KABU is a standard holder in news and public affairs in this country and community radio.
Very importantly, when you call, make sure you ask about how your monthly deductions can be taken on your credit card or your debit card. That's something new that we've started this year. Pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266. This is the time that you can step up and become a part of something much bigger than yourself. The phones have been ringing this afternoon. We need them to continue ringing. And so step up and do it right now. And Jenka, I'm going to let you, since you've been swinging both ends, I'm going to let you close it out.
Well, I've been running the board in the control room, and now I'm out here in the pledge room. And if you want to see how this operation works, you can come down and see all the duct tape and string that we use to hold this thing together. So come on down to 20 Southeast 8th to our palatial headquarters in the penthouse. Well, no, they're a pretty modest headquarters, but it keeps the job going.
Absolutely.
And keeps the news and public affairs coming to you. We do that here in our studio. 20 Southeast 8th is the address. So if you're on your way home, if you're out on the street, come on down and see what we do here, and then show your support with a $10 a month contribution. That would be really wonderful. With that $10 a month contribution, you can get that flash drive filled with all kinds of speeches, talks, archived recordings from here at KBOO, and you can get, in addition to that flash drive of audio, 2 gigabyte flash drive, that's a bamboo fair trade USB flash drive filled with amazing exclusive audio. You can also get a tree planted in your name and reduce your carbon footprint just a little bit and support KBOO Community Radio all together in the process. But what you need to do is call 877-500-5266. We're so close to our goal.
And we do it now.
We just need you to call. So you can also get a one-year subscription to Yes Magazine. There's the Journal of Positive Futures. It's a very positive magazine, always looking to alternatives. A number of the recent issues actually have featured Portland stories. Arun Gupta had an article about the Portland food scene and how the farmers markets operate and how the local people are committed to the food scene. In fact, we have a special coming up next Wednesday about that and about Eve's Garden and permaculture. So Wednesday morning, we have all kinds of specials planned for you. Tomorrow, you heard Robert talking about it. See, the food. We have a food show on KBOO. What other radio station has a food show for all of the interests of our foodies in town? We have shows that fit so many different topics and so many different interests.
We're so close to hitting our goal for this hour. We need your help. Do it now. Make the phones ring, 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm. And one way or the other, let's make it happen. Let's do it today. And the phones are continuing to ring. That means we need your support. We thank you very much for taking this time to become a part of the great KBOO community.